This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Global warming? A fact. Sea levels rising? A fact. More frequent and severe droughts, wildfires, and floods? Also facts. All related to one of the greatest threats we are facing today, climate change. In fact, Malaysia is cognizant of this threat and has committed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 45% by 2030. So in the studio today to tell us how the country is going to achieve this target is Dr. Sanjayan Valluntum, the CEO of Sustainable Energy Development Authority, otherwise known as SEDA. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Now, like I just mentioned, SEDA is actually a statutory body reporting to the Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources. But I want to know, I think for a lot of people, they don't really know what SEDA's key purpose is.
Basically, SEDA was formed under the SEDA Act 2011. And the functions, I would just mention two important functions. One is advising the minister and relevant government entities on all matters relating to sustainable energy, including recommendations on policy, law and strategy and action plan, promoting sustainable energy. Number two would be implementing, managing and monitoring the relevant sustainable energy programs that we implement.
Under the previous government, right, SEDA reported to the Ministry of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change. I understand that ministry no longer exists in its current form. So now SEDA is under the Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources. Does this switch make it harder for SEDA to achieve its key purpose? I mean, for one of the examples I'm going to cite is, does it change some of the renewable energy goals, like raising the usage from the current 4% to 20% by 2025, which is what the previous minister, Yeo Byin, was trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think the general direction in which we want to indulge in moving, or what we call the energy transition in Malaysia, has not changed. But what will happen is the details of how we want to implement this and the mechanisms involved would rightfully need to go through the approval levels of the new ministries. And that's what's taking place. But generally, I think Malaysia is on track in ensuring the commitments to reduce its greenhouse gases.
And looking specifically at KPIs, you know, key performance indicators, what are they? And, you know, are they objectively measured so that we may know how SEDA is performing? Because after all, accountability is very important in any government agency.
Yeah, so there are actually every year the ministry comes up with a KPI for the agencies, and SEDA is no exception to that. And one of the important things is the programs that we have instilled. And we have two programs that SEDA takes up. One is called the feed-in tariff program, and the other is the net energy metering. And we measure according to the penetration of these programs into the market. So how much of solar or how much of hydro or biogas is penetrating into the market. And we set targets so that the 2025 target of 20% generally is still there. So we need to measure the milestones on to achieving those targets.
Are we on track though?
I would think there are permutations that come. COVID-19 was one of them. But what happens is then we'll have to put in measures like the economic recovery packages, which also included renewable energy, to enhance and to ensure that we go back on track. So we are not reducing these targets in any way. We want to ensure that Malaysia's commitment to the global community in reducing its greenhouse gases by becoming better and producing green energy is still there.
Okay, and I'm going to look at things a little bit big picture, because I understand there's supposed to be a Renewable Energy Transition Roadmap, RETR, right?
Yeah.
2035,
yeah.
Which I think the purpose is to outline strategies and also create an action plan to reach that 20% renewable energy target. What's an update on that? Because it's supposed to be part of the 12 Malaysia plan, which in itself has been delayed.
Yeah, just give me a little bit of time to retract into history. The fifth fuel policy was introduced in 2001, the eighth Malaysian plan. So that is basically where the government specifically said we should encourage the use of sustainable energy. And when we talk about sustainable energy, I think generally we should understand it's not just RE, but it's also energy efficiency and conservation.
So it's not just producing the energy, but using it wisely.
Wisely. So conservation, you know, if you look at it from a simple aspect of a pyramid, the bottom part I would call is the conservation. You turn up your temperatures in your aircon in the house from 18 freezing to 25, which is reasonable. That's simple habits. These are what we call the low-hanging fruits that people should be. So your footprint is reducing in the consumption of energy. Then you go on to energy efficiency. So you automize, you bring the intelligence into your house to reduce all industries. And finally, on top of that pyramid is where your footprint is slowly reducing. And on top of the pinnacle is the renewable energy that could then sustain the impacts of the total sustainability of where we want to go. And that's all the policies, and you talked about the RETR, is towards that. We have to look at it from both aspects.
So where are we in getting that map?
Yes. Yes. So where are we is SEDA over the last year has done this and has presented it to the stakeholders. We have had drawn up conclusions to how we need to manage this over the next until 2035. And we are ready, but as you mentioned, the ministries have changed. So we need to get through the right policy framework, understanding this, aligning it with the new policies and strategies, and getting the approvals of the ministers involved. So once that is done, then this would then become a published.
With COVID-19, right, there has been pressure by governments to spend money to create stimulus. And I think for Malaysia, one option that we have always done is to look at infrastructure projects. And we're looking at Europe as an example. They are moving into spending money on green energy projects. Do you think COVID-19 actually creates that reset for us, Malaysia, where we should focus on that also?
I think that's a question that's on everybody's mind and how that has affected us. And it has, because the electricity consumption during this period, the MCO period, reduced by 30%. So, you know, industries and commercial parts actually had an impact to that. And so that has also created a reset in mind, how vulnerable our economy is. And this is the permutations between the health of a person and the health of economy. But the economy part, as you have said, is affected, and there are economic stimulus packages being given. And one of this, if we take cognizance on early part of February, the infrastructure included the package of consisting of 1,400 megawatts of renewable energy, especially solar, to be installed in Malaysia. And if you know, in September 2nd this year, they closed the 1,000 megawatts of solar that was out for bidding for the industry to take up. So with this, we hope investments and also job creations in the renewable sphere, you know, is part of this economic recovery. But one of the main things, I think, even in the RETR, the RETR, we call it the RETR for short, I think the general public should understand that reducing our dependency on petroleum products, mainstreaming environmental considerations by accelerating renewables and making this energy transition we are talking about an integral part of the wider recovery that we look at is essential, that multiple economic and social benefits for what I call a resilient future is very important.
The only issue I think some people have is the assumption that such projects cost more money than a project that is based on fossil fuels, especially when you look at fossil fuel prices today, right?
I think cost is a very important aspect of any projects, right? And that's why when we talked about the feed-in tariff, that's why in 2011, there was the Renewable Energy Act that actually to incentivize and catalyze this. And there was a premium paid on top of the normal tariffs so that renewable energy people or the industries could get into it. So, but what we have seen over the period of time for solar, for example, the price of solar panels are coming down. So this will continue to have an effect in terms of the competitiveness to fossil fuel infrastructure. And we are already seeing that solar pricing is very competitive to infrastructure of fossil. So that perception would change. And as we move forward in future, it'll definitely change.
So 1 unit of energy produced by solar is the same as 1 unit of energy produced by a fossil fuel?
It depends what we are talking about. The intensity of energy would be different because fossil fuel is very intense and solar is 4.5 hours a day.
Mm.
You don't get it at night, right? But a coal plant runs throughout.
24/7.
Yeah. So you're distributing cost over different timelines and the commercial impact of how you get that revenue is totally different. So we'll have to look at that. But to answer your question specifically, it is not the same, but it is very competitive in generation costs. But when you're talking about tariffs, it's not just generation cost. It is also transmission and distribution in the network that reaches your house. And one of the critical areas that really we need to look at is this transmission and distribution has to be fortified because solar is called variable renewable energy.
Mm.
A cloud passes by, you suddenly have a drop. So the reliability and stability of the system, when you flick the switch in your house and you don't have electricity, the first thing you're going to call is TNB.
Yeah.
And so the system operators would really need to ensure that reliability. And there's a cost for that reliability.
Okay, and I understand even electricity transmission is part of the renewable energy transition roadmap, right? It's part of that discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, but we'll come back to this in a moment. With me this morning on The Breakfast Grill is Dr. Sanjayan Velutum, the CEO of Sustainable Energy Development Authority, otherwise known as SEDA. When we come back, when does it make sense to install a solar system to generate electricity in my house? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where in the hot seat today is Dr. Sanjayan Velutum, the CEO of Sustainable Energy Development Authority, otherwise known as SEDA. Just a moment ago, we were talking about the country's renewable energy roadmap. Doctor, I'm going to ask you about the RE Fund. Okay, because that, like you mentioned earlier on, there is this tariff that most Malaysians whose electricity bill is above 77 ringgit in Peninsula Malaysia and 69 ringgit in Sabah and Labuan, Sarawak is excluded. Actually, they pay an extra 1.6% into this fund, which is collected by all the utility players. And I know this fund was seeded with 300 million ringgit by Treasury in 2011. But what's the fund size now?
So what has happened is, of course, we are collecting this 1.6 through the TNB billing structure. And the fund is managed by SEDA. And this fund is used for what we call the feed-in tariff program. And the feed-in tariff program is the mechanism that allows electricity production of indigenous renewable resources to be sold to TNB and to the customers at a fixed premium price above the normal so that we incentivize these people because of you talked about the cost. So the initial cost of renewable energy for only a specific duration of 21 years. So talking about this fund, of course, we collect this fund and it goes into what is known as the Renewable Energy Fund, and it's managed by SEDA. And remembering this fund has to ensure, we have to ensure that these funds are managed because every time we get a feed-in tariff approval, you have to manage it that licensee would have 21 years of expected payback in terms of the generation of cost. So the size, of course, has grown to grow the fund, to get interest from very reputable and stable institutions. There are committees and, of course, the board that looks into it to approve how these funds are managed over the longer term.
So it is fair to say that the fund is managed in a very prudent manner?
Yes, it is definitely because it's audited by the Jabatan Audit Negara. And so we have to ensure this. And, you know, it comes out in our annual report as part of the annual report. So it's for people to view these funds and how these funds are managed. So it's very transparent and robustly checked to ensure that SEDA doesn't run out of fund to pay the feed-in tariff over a 21-year period.
And the size must have grown because the last time I could find any data on it was the fund size was 685 million in 2013.
So I could say it has really grown. And because of the prudent practice of ensuring that how we enhance this growth and manage the payment of this fund.
Because the question I have is that how do we know then that the licensees who apply for the feed-in tariff mechanism, be it biomass, biogas, And is solar still included?
Solar is out now.
It's out. Okay. Yeah. So how do I know that the licensees are the, you know, are the right companies, that they have the right project, that they are delivering before you pay them from this RE fund? What's the criteria?
So what happens is a little bit of the process in which, so from this fund, what we know is we allocate quotas different times of the year. So there are announcements about 2 months before the quota is allocated. And to even allocate the quota, we prudently go and find out how much fund is available, how much megawatts can we associate to these three different, basically, mini hydros, biomass and biogas. And so the companies who want to bid, it's e-bidding for biogas and hydro at present. So there are selection criteria that they have to conform to when they are submitting the applications. And if it's e-bidding, then of course they have to bid at the lowest available price for them. So we get price discovery and benefits in saving the FIT fund over the years. And once that is done, within their applications, there are milestones that they will have to reach.
And you monitor, SEDA
yes.
monitors carefully?
So there is, within the law, within the RE Act and the what we call the feed-in tariff regulations, there are mechanisms to monitor and there are mechanisms to ensure that we revoke people who don't reach these milestones and they only get paid this FIT at the end of what we call the FITCD, which is the feed-in tariff commercial operation date.
Because in the 2019 SEDA report card, I did find that, I think this was based on May 2018, there were like 394 projects which didn't meet their targeted milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And they were revoked. So saving about 2.6 billion ringgit, I think, in terms of energy payment for the whole power purchase agreement. In the first place, why are there so many projects which didn't meet their targeted milestones?
So
and did you pay them anything in the onset or is there no cost to SEDA?
It's basically, as I just mentioned, the FIT is only paid out once they are connected to TNB and what we call they are generating electricity into the grid. And we pay them according to the amount of megawatt hours. You know, this is basically renewable energy is a very nascent industry. So there are challenges in financing. The banks themselves are getting used to the need of how nascent industries are taking it. And if they ask for track records, then the local companies themselves, it's a nascent industries. Obviously, you have players who have just come in thinking that they can do it and eventually along the way
falter
and they do not have the capacity to complete it. So we are very prudent in the way we also want to balance that we want to encourage the growth of this industry, but at the same time, not allow people who are really not fit to be in that industry.
And why is solar taken out of this
FIT?
Yeah, the feed-in tariff.
So solar, you know, when we first
because
started,
I would assume it's the most popular renewable energy source.
So what has happened is the FIT system's philosophy is you are incentivizing to catalyze a nascent industry that needs to compete with very matured industry like the conventional plant. So when we saw solar pricing coming down for one, being what we call, the word they use is grid parity, reaching that levels of grid parity, we thought then it's about time the solar players in this country compete because they're on the same footing with the conventional. That's number one. Number two, by doing that, you're also saving on the FIT fund. So now you don't have to pay out for the solar FIT. So the other additional, which you would have paid out for the solar, would then enhance hydro, biomass, and biogas. So these are the two aspects.
Okay, then I want to spend some time on the other key initiative of SEDA, which is the net energy metering, or NEM, right? Which was specially mentioned in the 11th Malaysia Plan. So this is, I think, where domestic, commercial, agriculture, and even industrial users can install solar PV systems and use the electricity generated while any excess is supposed to be exported to TNB on a one-on-one offset basis. Can you explain how this works? Because this one-on-one seems rather confusing to some of us.
Okay. So the NEM is really where the common man, the domestic user, could really be engaged in generating his own electricity for his house from solar.
So it's just basically putting up some solar panels on your roof.
On your roof, And I would just encourage people to go to the SEDA website to look. There is what we call the NEM calculator. And it just asks you your tariff, your monthly bills, and then it suggests what size is good for you, how much of your savings for your electricity bill, and it gives you a whole load of information both on the commercial and technical side. So that is where I think the domestic part of it, the industry and commercial part of it, if you look at the uptake, is really high. The domestic part is still low because I think some of it is awareness, some of it is the perceived concept that is going to take too much of a complex issue of getting this up on my roof, which isn't, yeah? So to answer the one-on-one basis, this was not when the NEM was introduced in 2016.
Which is why the take-up rate then was rather low,
yeah,
right?
Correct. So 2016 to 2020 was a five-year program that was introduced by the government for NEM when solar was taken out of the FIT. So NEM was there. And so from 2016, 2017, and 2018, we really did not see a very much uptake. The total maximum was only 28 megawatts. The quota allocated for NEM was 500 megawatts. So in 2019, at that time, looking at this, then what we thought, because prior to that, it was at a fixed cost. We call it a displaced cost. It's a bit technical how you calculate a displaced, but it's fixed. It's like 30 cents. Whatever excess you want to sell, it's a fixed cost. Then what we did, or what the government did actually, is basically then rethink, how do you want to incentivize this further to show that that 500 is taken up? And one of the ways was this one-to-one. What it simply means, if you have a tariff in your house, you've got different tiers. Mm. The first 300, the next 200 kilowatt, and then it goes from 30 cents to 51 cents. So if you reach whatever tier and the excess is sold, then it's bottom up. So when you're billed, it's from your low tariff. As you reach your higher usage of your kilowatt, it goes to 51 cents or 56 cents maximum. But when you want to sell the excess, then TNB, the advantages of the system, will buy back this electricity that is sent to the grid from the highest tier. Remembering the policy is until 2020. This one-to-one was a sort of a incentivizing people to get in. Up till today, we have actually have remaining of 200 megawatts. So I would encourage everyone.
You've got 3 months.
Yes. The fit and form of how this is going to be continued would need to be then looked at Rancangan Malaysia Ketua Belas, the RETAS, and the approval of the ministry and the minister himself.
We do know solar generation cost continues to come down, right? I think you've been quoted to say that it has come down by at least 60% in the last decade. So if I'm a consumer or even an industrial user, should I think, I'll hold back, wait for solar panel costs to come down and then install this later?
What I think people should look at is the trend in which it has been dropping. The price will plateau at some point. The rate in which it's going to drop compared to the early years would be very, very much less.
On that note, thank you for your time today to tell us about SEDA's priorities and its role in helping Malaysia become more carbon neutral. On The Breakfast Grill this morning was Dr. Sanjayan Velutam, CEO of Sustainable Energy Development Authority, or SEDA. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.